Up to Sif Siman Beis, which is on the equivalent page 11, and some of these halachas may seem a little bit foreign to us, but there are people I know that are very makbid about these halachas, about how to get dressed when you wake up in the morning, you know, observing the laws of tznius. And there's also some sort of skula to put on your clothes in the normal way that people put on the clothes, not to do it inside out and upside down. So let's just quickly read Sif Aleph. Lo yilbash chaluka miyushav el yikach chaluka v'yachnis bo. I think here the girs is rosho uzroosa beodenu shochev. So now a person has a tendency of just getting out of bed, sitting down, and he starts putting on his clothes. But at that point his body is exposed. And therefore the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch advocates that he gets dressed while he's under the blankets, so that by the time he gets out of the blankets, he's already dressed. And the Mishnah Berurah gives a whole long Musar Shmuz about nakedness, and he says that even if you think no one's around to see you, so you're not humiliated by it, but nevertheless the Ribbono Shel Olam sees you. He gives other cases though where you're allowed to be naked. For example, if you go into a river and no one's around, or you're in a bathhouse, I mean, that's the way we behave. You know, it's normal to expose our body. And he says, on the contrary, if he starts to cover his body in those places, it's almost like an insult to Hashem for having given him this body. So we're working out all these cases. But a lot of this has to do with skulos and harchakos of the Kabbalistic nature. For example, if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Sif Beis, Sif Katan Beis, he writes that Yesh li zar melubo shnei malbushim biyachad bepam achas. You know, you shouldn't put on two articles of clothing simultaneously. He said kasha l'shichacha. Now, if you ask me, you know, what's kasha l'shichacha, I would say if you put in too much information in your brain, you know, at one time it's kasha l'shichacha. But these are skulos. You know, like the Gemara says about drinking, you know, if you drink Shemen Zayis or you drink Zaysim before there are all sorts of things that are kosher l'shichacha, and those are all skulos. And we have to avoid shichacha as much as we can. Okay, let's go on to Sif Beis. Al yomar hini b'chadri chador miro eini. You know, no one's around, I'm in a private chamber. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meloch Al Haaretz Kvodo. God is everywhere. Yedagdek b'chaluko l'lovsho kidarko. Again, this goes back to the skula kind of thing. That even if he solved the problems of tznius, but nevertheless he should put on his cloak the normal way, like we said before, he comes and puts it over his head first. And shelo yafok hapnimi lachutz. He shouldn't wear it inside out. We don't wear begadim inside out. That's what he says. Now I know of another minhag, not to go barefoot. I didn't see it here. My parents were pretty makpid. They didn't want me to go barefoot. It's all because of the kind of a zechel avelus, you know, that avelim have to go barefoot. But we have to dress in a normal way. We're going to see also talochus about how to tie your shoes. And then we'll see halachas about how to walk and whether you stand up straight when you walk, whether you put a yarmulke on your head. We're going to talk about how to wash, you know, clean yourself in the bathroom. I mean, there's so many details that the halacha is so, you know, there have been different reactions. You know, some of the younger people in our generation, they laugh at this. They don't know how to take it in. Other people are so despoiled that the Torah goes into every single detail and tells you exactly how to behave. I mean, the two opposite kind of polar reactions to this whole discussion. So he says the following: Novadal yinol minal yamin tchila. First, he should put on his right shoe. V'lo yikshiren. V'achgach yinol shel smol yikshiren. So he puts on both shoes: one first, the right, and then the left. And then he ties the left shoe. It's like A B B A, if you know what I mean. V'yachsav yikshar shel yamin, and then he goes back and he ties his right shoe. Now we don't understand these halachas; they're all based on metaphysics. But in any event, if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he makes a little bit of an attempt here, and he says about seven lines up from the bottom of the page, number hey, shekematzinu v'atorah sheyamin choshev tomid, that we always start with the right side. The right side is maybe midas sarachamim. The right side might be the shame of yud kei vav kei. Give more chashivas. Chazal say kol pniyos shetapone el yamin. You know, if you're in doubt where to turn, you always go to the right. That's a basic din in kodshin. He says linyan bo en yod over regel. For example, that's in the what's called taras hamitzora, and we have to sprinkle the dam. We start with the right hand and the right leg, and that's a rule of thumb for all situations in which we need both right and left. We start with the right. L'chol dvar shvak dimim hayamin lasfos is a kiyum of kedima, to give kedima, give priority and sequence to the right side. But yet v'yiksharenu, when it comes to tying the knot, then he starts with his left shoe. So this is the Mishnah Berurah number Vav le'inyan kshira matzina b'Torah shator nasa chashivas al asmol. With regard to kshira, there's a special status of the left. Why is that so? Well, we only know it from tefillin, but we don't know why it's so. Kosher oleh tefillin shel yad. We tie the tefillin onto our left arm. That's not necessarily true, because if you're a lefty, you're going to tie it onto the right arm. So it could be that, according to this logic of the Mishnah Berurah, in the case of a lefty, maybe you should tie his right shoe first. Uban pilos shaleved. Okay, he doesn't tell you exactly what that means, but it's some sort of a shoe. Ein tzarech lahakdim smol l'kshira. I think he's referring, if I'm not mistaken, to some sort of galoshes that they wore to protect their feet against the rain. And there was a kind of a tying to it, but wasn't the knot or the bow that we usually tie. It was like it maybe just pull two strings to make sure that it doesn't fall off your foot. So that's not a real kshira. We're talking about kshira. In fact, we know it from Ksharitim, it's derived from Tefillin. But in the case of Anfilos, these kinds of slippers or galoshes, they weren't used to Kshira.
It seems like there might be no tie at all in that.
Yeah,
it's just slipped on.
Right, or it's a slip on, or maybe it's not Kshira in the classic sense. Because
so
he says ain't tzarech lahakdim smol l'kshira,
right, so
he implies that there is some sort of kshira.
Oh, I intend that
there's no kshira. In other words, in this case of kshira, he says ain't tzarech lahakdim smol. He doesn't have to start with his left for this kshira, l'kshira, meaning the kshira of anpalot, because that's not a real kshira. I think they just they wrapped it around, kind of thing. Okay, so that we derived on our own. We figured that out logically, because then he puts his tefillin on his right hand, and hence he should be doing the kshira on his right shoe first. Then there's a story that made the rounds, I think about a decade ago, I remember, about a young man who went off the derech, and he actually was about to get married to a shiksa. And before the chuppah, whatever they do in that case, he was putting on his beautiful shoes that either he had bought or rented for his wedding, and he started remembering the halachas that he had learned as a child about tying which one first. And he says, what am I doing? I'm marrying a non-Jewish woman, I'm tying this shoe first and that. And he just ran away and he never married her. Again, these are legends. You never know what's true and what's not true, but... He says the following: Himsach kol gufo. Just 1 second. I skipped a little bit. Let's go back to the mechaber here. Or actually, we finished the mechaber. V'yatsav yikshar shal yamin. Now we get to the Rambam. Bin olim shalonu she'ein lahem kshira. So he testifies that the shoes that they wore back in Krakow in Poland in the time of the Rambam did not have kshira. is then we go back to square one, namely that we always give more, we give priority to the right side. So yinol shel yamin tchila. So I was wondering about Velcro. You know, where would that fit in? So there is a discussion about meleches tofer in Velcro. We assume that Velcro is okay on Shabbos because you open it and close it. If you had a Velcro that was permanent, then that might be meleches tofer. But I don't think anyone classifies it as kosher. Right? There are two different melachas in Shabbos. There's kshira and there's tefira. Now, normally when you put two pieces of garment together, you sew them together. That's called tofer. But you could also adhese them through other methods, and maybe that adhesion would be tofer if it's permanent. But I don't think it would be kosher. Kosher would mean when you have a kesher, a knot. So I would think, again, I'm not here to paskin, we'd have to check it out in the contemporary poskim, that if you had shoes that you wore with Velcro of some sort, then it would make sense to start with the right shoe first, because as we always go back to the right, unless it's kshira, and I don't think that would be kshira.
It's common on sneakers, so they have a Velcro. So you're saying that could be a problem on Shabbos, or your Velcro?
Well, no, I don't think Velcro is a problem, because Mimonoshek, it's not kosher because you're not making a kesher. And it's not tofer because it's only temporary. It's not permanent. Like, for example, diapers is a real serious issue in the poskim because meleches tofer. And again, tofer means when an adhesion of two materials. Once again, the only heter here that it's not tofer and be allowed on Shabbos is because you're going to open it and close it. So it's temporary. It's not permanent. Now the real machmirim will open it and close it even before Shabbos, so they already sort of declared that it's not a real tefira. It also makes it weaker if you open it and close. The second time you close it's not the same as the first time. But there's serious issues here. And the old style diapers, which had pins, I don't know if you're old enough to remember that. Yeah, you remember they used to have these services where you, diapers. Anyway. So that also is a serious issue of meleches tofer, because they used to use these big safety pins. You have to figure out how to do the tofer on these diapers without violating meleches tofer. Not so simple. He says the following in the Mishnah Berurah number Zion. He says, "Gamim nizdamim lo shel smol." What happens if he picks up his left shoe? It's in his hand already. Once it's in his hand, he might as well wear it, put it on. No, he shouldn't put it on. Yamtin at shiavilo es shel yamin. He should wait till they bring him the right shoe. In order to, in other words, it's not just an isur of giving kedima to the left over the right. Maybe in this case it's not kedima because you're already holding on to the shoe. But there's a kiyum mitzvah to give priority to the right side. So therefore he should wait until they bring him the right shoe. Then he writes the following. Kshurochets v'sach. So this is mind-boggling. If you've never heard this before, you know, like hold on to your chair. He says the man is taking a bath or he's anointing his body with an oil. Yamin tchila. He should, again, you know, today you go into a shower and I guess, you know, the water comes on both your right side and your left side. Or you go into a bath and the entire body is submerged in the water, but at some point you take soap and you may apply it to the left side or to the right side. Now, I would think intuitively, tell me if I'm wrong, that the first thing you would do if you're not a scholar is you would probably take the soap in your right hand and wash your left hand. Because the right hand is the stronger hand. That's what you're used to. But he's saying no, that he should first wash his right hand, his right arm, because of giving kedima to the right side. The same thing in Sikha. You know, I was thinking, I don't know how far you can go with this, but if you go to a beach and you put on suntan lotion, maybe you should be careful to first put the suntan lotion on your right shoulder and then on the left shoulder. And so you stay. Now he says himsach kol gufo, if he's doing something to his entire body, then rosh tchilo. Then he quotes the Rambam, who says in a different work, not here in the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch, that he should start with his head. He has to give kavod to the head. What else? Now we are up to taking off our shoes. That's Sif Hey in the Machab. He says, "Kshacholitz min olaf," when he removes his shoes, "Cholitz shall smol tchila." He should take off his left shoe first because he wants to give more cover to the right shoe. So he wants to give the right shoe the ability to stay on his body and be worn a little bit longer, even though it's a difference of a second or two. Shezek foda shal yamin. Again, I think we're seeing over and over again that there's a mitzvah to give kavod to the yamin. Just like the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, the yamin came first. And in the case of tefillin are put on the right, put on by the right arm onto the left arm. So the maisa hanocha is done by the right side. And in Taras and Torah, we said that the bowen yad yaminis comes first. The yamin has to get covered. It's covered to yamin. It's almost as if we are respecting the midah of Yudke Vavke, of Rachmanus, every time we give kavod to Yamin. It's like the physical body now becomes an image, an abstract image or a vision of something abstract. It's not just your arm, it's something called Yamin. Yamin is abstract, it's a concept, it's a midah. And that demands kavod when you... yesterday we read the parasha of Aloscha, in which the menorah is situated in the south of the Heichal, and the Gemara says Rotsa Lahachim Yadru. Could be you're giving kavod to the right side, which is the side of the Ner Sheva Migdash, whenever you turn towards the right side. Towards the south side. I mean, it's actually gonna be a little bit to your right, because you're facing east. So if you're facing east, then west is behind you, and north would be to your left and south to your right, if I'm not mistaken. He says the following, Sif Vav, Asur Lelech Bekomas Kufa. Gemara and Kiddushin, we're not allowed to stand absolutely straight. And he says in the Mishnah Berurah number test, Shedochek Ragle Shechina Kaviyochel. So let's try to explain what he means here. I think he means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that my Shechina is with the Dake Ruach, with the humble. But if a person is a Valgaiva, if he thinks highly of himself, then HaKadosh Baruch says, Ein ani v'hu gdorim v'kfifa achas. We cannot coexist in the same place at the same time. Hashem runs away from a gasrua. So if a person walks with a komas kufa, and he tries to show himself as being greater, a big shot, then he's dochek ragli shechina, because the shechina doesn't want to be located with someone, together with someone who is a balgaiva. Al kein kosvak rodem di osa filu pochus mi'arba amas. He says that komas gufa is something that's prohibited even for a short amount of halicha, a very limited space. Because for that limited space, he's being dochek ragli shechina. Who pasha filu only bim kovein ol lechlal. Even if he's not walking, he's just standing in that position. Bekomas kufa, he's being dochek ragli shechina. Now I was wondering, are there situations in which a person walks bekomas kufa, not because he's a balgaiva, because that's what's appropriate for that situation? Like, let's say, for example, you're standing in an elevator. So you're not going to be bent over. There are other people standing in the elevator. Well, let's say you're playing sports. So in certain cases, you know, like basketball, I suppose, you know, you want to be in a Kovas Kufa. You don't want to run around, you know, with what we call in Yiddish Eingebogen, you know, you're bent over. I would think that Kovas Kufa is a problem only in a certain context where it looks like, you know, you're showing off your big shot. I was thinking again, you know, you'll take me to task for this, but I think a short person who wants to show these a little bit taller than a bent over. Imagine if you're both short and you bent over. I mean, you're like a midget. So I don't know if you have to be like a midget. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds another point. He says, you know, you would think that maybe if you're out in the public eye, then Kovas Kufa is gaiva, but if you're in the house, the privacy house, that's not called gaiva. So he says that the halacha of Kovas Kufa applies even in the bias, even if you're totally closed by and you're in a sealed room. Nevertheless, that's still considered dochek regli shechina, meaning it's still a position of gaiva. He says, Al Kain, yeah, fine. The Koshkein Tachas Avir Shamayim, the Ishli Zor Lekuli Alma, we have to be very careful about this. Okay. Now, we said before that the Mechaber seems to be advocating Eingebogen, you know, when you're bent over. So the Mishnah Berurah points out here in Be'er Halacha, which is on page 12, that it doesn't mean that you have to be Eingebogen, that your whole body has to look like a, you know, like a bow that's bent over. But it means that your head is a little bit bowed. I think if you'll see that 6 seconds video, you know, of the Chofetz Chaim, have you seen it? The 6 seconds, they have a video now from the first Knesset Gedolah. It's the first time we know what the Chofetz Chaim looks like. I mean, he never met the Chofetz Chaim.
He's walking outside with some other people.
Right, he's got Rav Meir Shapiro on his right. And, so if you take a look, you'll see that his head is a little bit drop bent. He was a great, you know, Anav. He was a very humble person. And his Avos Yisroel was incredible. My father got a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. My father was on his way to America. He was a young boy of 12. Some people in the family think that it's that bracha that carried him through, because when he landed in New York, he had a tremendous challenge whether to go to Akron, Ohio, where all the Lanzmann from his town were settled, or whether to stay in New York and go to yeshiva. And at the ripe old age of 11 or 12, he made that decision, which changed all the generations. So I don't know how many great-great-grandchildren my father has today. But it's all because of that one decision. You know, like, you can either turn to the right or to the left. I mean, his family in Akron, very little, Yiddishkeit-wise, very little to say about them.
I heard that she was Schwab. He was saved from a train accident because he missed his train during his visit, he fell asleep while holding his hand.
It's like, you know, different stories about people. They would visit, you know, Mignano, but they didn't get to the tower, to the World Trade Center. Says the Mechaber below Yelech, here we're turning to page 12, Arba Amos Begilia Rosh. Can't walk 4 hours without Yalmakon. And he says, the Ramah adds, Mipnei Kvod Hashchina. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Arba Amos Umidas Chesidus Afilu Pachas Mi Arba Amos. Afilu Beis Hashena Balayla. So I actually have a son who will not sleep without his yarmulke. To me, that's a big chumrah. I find that if I sleep with my yarmulke, inevitably I lose it. You know, I can't find it. It goes behind, under, below. Gets all fashion. But the Mishnah Berurah actually advocates in favor of wearing a yarmulke at night while you're sleeping. Yesh mitzad lo medafilu arba amaseinu osam yidinat aklat snuim b'maaseihem. Even this requirement of arba amas only applies to people who are on a very high level of piety, of tznius. And that's why, especially in the Sephardic communities, not all, but I'm saying in some of them, they're a little bit more laid back about it. Yarmulkes, you know. The Ashkenazim are also close behind, because, you know, they go to work and they come up with all sorts of coolness about not wearing a yarmulke.
And he brings that word. One's home should be viewed as arba amas.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to that later on, if I'm not mistaken. He says, "Amakos v'taz the bezmanenu iser gam medina lios pegilu rosh afil yoshev v'beisa." So this, I think, if I'm not mistaken, comes under what's called bechukoseim lo selechu. The reason why he doesn't want to wear his yarmulke is because he's imitating the goyim. And that's also, alternatively, maybe the Taz means that this is a chumrah that we've accepted upon ourselves as a minog, and it's a minog that you can't deviate from. And it obligates every one of us to wear a yarmulke constantly, even when he's sitting alone in his house. The chen kos v'chus mari bruna kos mogen avron da filu ketanim nochal agilam v'kisu rosh ki hechi levihu emosa de shamayim. The whole idea of wearing yarmulke is emosa shamayim. They should be trained in that regard. Maybe that they're not capable of appreciating emo v'yira because these are very lofty concepts. But nevertheless, we have to get them into the, you know, used to it. Trainer already from a young age. And to prove that covering your head is a mosa de shamaya, he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos. V'da'od, delini gili arosh, tai bekisi ayad al arosh. This is a classic issue. What happens if you don't have a yarmulke right now? Can you just take your hand and cover your head? People do it when they make brachas and so forth. So he says that as far as Gili Rosh is concerned, again, for brachas we may have a higher standard, but as far as Gili Rosh, as long as your head is covered, it doesn't matter by what, even by your own hand, that's sufficient. For hu adin im mefale rosho shori begili rosh. He doesn't tell you exactly what he has in mind here. Let's see if the Bir Halacha clarifies this. Let's look at the Bir Halacha, but I think it starts a little bit earlier on the previous side of the page. Oh, he says, "Imafale rosho shari ena emes." Oh, I see. The "hein emes" is an introduction. Hein emes, but prima godim kasav v'mefala rosho kahai gam neshori. Mashmine dafka v'mechase biyodo. So he's medayik from the prima godim that mefala rosho, somehow he covers his hand with his hand. V'anochi yishmati tevas kahai gam mishum de misefer simla chadosh mashma bazesh shori v'chol gavne.
Wow.
So here we have a whole discussion about where the Mishnah Berurah is recognizing that the issue of Gili Rosh, of going without covering your head, is an issue b'chukoseyem. But he says that b'chukoseim is predicated on the fact that he really wants to imitate the goyim. But if it's Latovas Atzmo, you know, he's doing it for his own benefit for whatever reason, that's not B'chukosem lo selech. He's not trying to imitate the Goyim and say, wow, they're, you know, we have to do like them. But he has a certain purpose, and if he has to achieve that purpose, it might just be that he coincides with what the Goyim do, but for his own reasons. Not because he's trying to imitate the Goyim. Okay? Now, where, under what circumstance can you cover your head with your hand? So, is that an absolute rule, or it's only within a certain specific context? So if you take a look here in the Mishnah Berurah in the second wide line, he says, Ayin prima gadosh kos belelech arba amas tachas avir hashamayim lo mahani bazek kisei harosh bayad. It's almost as if there's a double kisui in the case of yad. Yad alone, single-handedly, is not enough for kisui. But if it's also a ceiling on top of your head, and then you put your hand on top of your head, so we're going to be mitzarif the two, A plus B, and that removes the iser of gili or rosh. But if on the other hand you're out in the public eye, you're underneath the sky, so you don't have the kisui of the tikra, then the kisui of your yad is not sufficient. So yad is only meaningful inside a closed area. Now, what about Gili Rosh when you're making a bracha? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah addresses here in Number Yud Gimel, in Number Yud Beis, sorry, third of the wide line. He says, Kol Shkein Shasa Levarech, Bu Adin Lilmon, Be Gili Rosh, Lo Mahani Bozek Kisi Yad. The Yad Varosh Chad Gufa Inun, Vi Eina Guf Yachol Achasos Es Atzmo. So this is really fascinating because this is like a brisker Tzvei Dinim here. He's saying that there's a relativity theory that's going to come to the surface in the case of Yad, of when he covers his head with his hand. And he's going to say the following, that vis-a-vis the halacha of Gilui Rosh, which means as if to say he's Porek Ol, and he says, I'm not afraid of Shamayim. So here we're going to make a difference between a person who's literally bald, you know, he's got nothing on his head, or as opposed to a person who puts his hand and covers his head, that action itself indicates a masa d'shmaya. And that would square with what we're learning here in Siv Beis, in Simon Beis. However, once it comes to brachos and limudat Torah, that's not just an issue of a masa d'shamaya, you know, indicate that you have fear of heaven. But rather, it's a separate iser of levarech. And not only levarech, but also lilmod. Normally, we need some sort of an indication of a masa d'shamaya, of the fear of heaven. And with the barest minimum covering, he could achieve that goal, even if it's only his hand. However, when it comes to tefillah and brachos and limud Torah, we need a foreign object on the head, foreign to the body itself. If another part of the body is covering the head, that's not enough for it to be considered kisei harosh. Let's think about this one more time. If you're talking about a bracha, so it's not enough to indicate that you need something that's not part of the goof. I think what he's saying is that you have to somehow transform the goof. It's almost like a kohen, and before he does the avoda, he needs to do he has to do rechitzas yadayim raglayim in a kiyar, like he sort of like changes his whole goof by sanctifying it. And here also, in order to allow us to recite brachos, we need to transform ourselves. And you can't achieve this transformation without adding something to your head. It's kind of like the Kohen who wears a mitznefes before he does the avot. He puts a hat on his head. So something outside of his body that he adds as a maisa hechsher to uplift his body for the sake of Torah study, for the sake of brachos. He says there are those who will allow you to use your hand if you have no other option. Wow, I thought he was going to talk about a case of learning where he doesn't have a yarmulke anywhere in the close proximity of the vicinity, so we're going to allow him. We're going to allow him to go ahead and learn, let's say, without Kisui Rosh. Like, can you imagine the following scenario? You're without a yarmulke. How are you going to learn? You got to learn Torah. I mean, you can't not learn Torah. So you put your hand on top of your head. That's what he calls Shasat Chak. He says, even if our shtia is concerned, he wants to drink, and he has no kova, but he says, "Daiva meshmechasa rosh v'yodo." This is all based on the Elio Rabba. Wow, this is a big kula here. That you can actually make a bracha and drink water without a yarmulke.
You need to be inside and have a
tikra. So you need two things. You need your hand and a tikra. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. He just grabs his sleeve and pulls it down in a way that he can cover his head. He also have a shaper kisu likuli alma. Yeah, I think this is kind of a classic situation where you pull down your sleeve and you cover your head. Okay? It's very common, almost natural, for a person to take off his yarmulke when he's putting on his tefillin, but he's making a bracha on his tefillin. He has to make sure that his head is covered. Ufaruk, okay, it's a shetel, misa'oros, af osan shetfurim bebeged mitachtov, yesh lesor mifnei maras ha'ayin. What does he mean by maras ha'ayin? Second. Oh, you know what? I made a mistake. We're not talking about a shetel here. We're talking about a man's wig, I think. He says nobody knows his head is covered. He knows. So he wants to say that that's an Iser Maris Ayin. Shiyomu Shasoros. Just oros hainah, that is his natural hair, yesh mekiyum. So the machaber has the mishmer has machlokus about the status of a wig for a man. People don't know he's wearing a wig. Could be people know, but not someone who's seen him for the first time. The yivdok nekavav, says the machaber, says. Mishabura adds another, Yain tzorach rak b'dikah levad. In Baruch Asatzim, in Rotsa Ata, in a cover, Zedek min adin guf noki. It's right now he feels he doesn't have to urinate. B'chalil li acher shuv, avur zezman kriyat shma filu rak tfilu v'tzibur. So once he can get away with it, and this is considered as if he was Bodhik Atzmo, and he found that he doesn't need his Nekova, that's already a matir to allow him to daven, and he doesn't want to delay davening, so make sure to get on the move. Okay, now let's just read the last Ramoy. He says, V'chasako gufo, let's read this. He doesn't want you to walk barefoot, and he wants you to make sure that you go to your bathroom. You go to the bathroom in the morning and the evening. Shuv zrizus unikius. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Number Yudali says Amru Chachamenu Zal Sheyimkar Adam Kol Ma Sheyesh Lo V'Yikach Min Olam L'Raglav. It's so important to wear shoes that he has to sell the shirt off his back to wear shoes. M'Komos Ha'arav Shadak Leilach Yachef Shari. But if you're living in these Arab lands where they walk barefoot, so you're allowed to walk barefoot. So if there's some overriding reason why, justifying why he goes barefoot, you're allowed to. And then he says, V'achshav, what is this going on? V'achshav, well, that's the next siman. Hanhogas beisakisek, shikores beisakisek, yomer hiskabdu, Michubadim, the Achshav lo nagli omro. He says, "Gain onum of zokim liirishamayim shemalochem alavim osanu shenavatshem sheamtinu aleinu ad shenetze." You know, on Friday night we will do that. We assume the malochem are there, but not when we're going into the Beis Hakise. We're not on that high madrega that the malochem are there and they're waiting for us to come out. The Achshav, he says, we don't have it. And we don't say this Eskabdu Mechubadim. Yehitzanu of the Vesakisel, Yigal Atzmoat Sheyeshev. And the Ramot is, Velo Yelchu Shnei Anoshim B'Yachad, Gamlo Yidavisham, Yizgar Delas Ba'ado Mishum Tznius. Rotzala Mashmesh Bifiatabas Bitsur over Kisam of Tokhan Kobo, Mashmesh Kodum Shiyeshev, Lay Mashmesh Achar Shisham Nesha Koshel Shof, Lay Gala Atzmo Kiim Me Le Achorov Tefach, and be the Fod of Tfachayim. In Sif Dalet, he writes, Lay Gala Atzmo Kiim Me Achorov Tefach, and be the Fod of Tfachayim. Again, a kind sneers. V'isha me'achareho tefach milfaneh v'lo klum. V'yem nifne b'moko megula she'im bo mechitzos. Yechavin shiyu panov l'dorom. V'achorov l'tzofon o ibcha. Avol bein mizrach l'mayrav osu l'hatol mayr b'chol inyin shari. So different ways of positions when he defecates, different we'll have about sleeping and where, which directions he's going, what he's allowed to uncover, what not. If you'll take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says that when people are in the bathroom, they shouldn't be speaking. V'yimu l'tzar gadol efshe demutu l'davar kol zman she'ein nifna dayan al beis she'nifna af l'tzar gadol osur. In the Efshel Liskar Adelis, Vishacherot Tzilikonos, Yinchru Zelazevel Yidaberu, somehow to make noises. Rakanoshim Shaholchos, the Beisakisa, Kavula Rabim, Kumo Beisakisa, Besodu, Vimem, Chatsar, Beisakimidus Elu, Hiskinu chachom shiu mesapro zu im zu kidei shi shoma kolom ibachutz lo ikonis ish l'shom v'isyachir imoyen. So it sounds like there should not be any speaking, but in the case of women, to make noise so that men shouldn't go in there, that's okay. L'mashmeish im eni yochel lifnos yelech arba amas v'yeshev v'yama v'yeshev v'yifani as a whole. Engineering, how to do this, tefaglos mishum tznius. He says that the Bach is nochon lahachmir shiu gam milfonov chak tefach v'lo eskimu imahar v'machronim. Here it says that me'achorov tefach milfonov tfachayim. The Bach says even milfonov it should be rak tefach. Yizor shel yilach lechshom begodov v'gufo min olov. Fine. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Beis Bein Mizrach, he says mishum dashchina shorah b'marav. So this principle that we saw here about osur lishon Bein Mizrach l'marav is because ishto imo is because the shechina is in the marav. Afilu imachzer ponov lemarav osa. The mizrach who neged marav yesh lo gam kin kedusha. So even though the shechina is b'marav, there's also kedusha and shechina in the mizrach, and therefore also lishan be mizrach lemarav. V'nochel liyizor afilu kshe'ein ishto imo. Now here he quotes a Tshuvas Menachem Azaria Posak Moshe Kosov Azor B'Parshas B'Midrash She Rosho Margulosov Ad Hamita Zeh L'Mizrach V'Zeh L'Marav V'Hiskim Shom She Harosh L'Marav Chayin Kosov. Fine. So it seems like that although the Machaber says Osali Shom Be'Mizrach L'Marav and Nochel Yizor Afilu Kshe'ein Ishto Imo, but nevertheless he has a tshuva here from the Menachem Azaria that Rosho Margulosov Shel Amita Zeh L'Mizrach V'Zeh L'Marav, and he has a whole bunch of achronim that agree with him against the Shulchan Aruch, but he writes here Mikol Makom Tov Yizor L'Chatchil Linon K'Shulchan Aruch Ki Tshuvas Binyan Shel Simcha Kosim Shem Agrosh Shomer Shigam Kavonas Azoru Kal Gemora V'Lo K'Peir Sherab Menachem Azaria. This is a whole issue here, whether there is a discrepancy here between the Zohar and the Psak that we have based on the Sugya. The Gaon seems to assume no. We don't go like this new interpretation of the Zohar. Even the Zohar really agrees, and we don't sleep from west to east. All right, we'll stop here.